We're going to read the Word of God this morning from Philippians chapter 3. I'll be reading the first 16 verses, of which verses 12 through 14 will serve as the text this morning. Hear the Word of God from Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. May God add his blessing to this, his own word. Dear people of God, the Christian life is portrayed in Scripture as something which God has wrought in us. For example, the Apostle Paul begins this little love letter already in verse 6 of chapter 1 when he says, being confident of this, this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it is God to whom the apostle attributes the work of grace in the believers at Philippi. But at the same time, the scripture also portrays the fact that there must be earnest effort on our part to work out our salvation and sanctification. And thus, for example, in chapter 2, we read where he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do. And here as well, in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul says, not that I've already attained or am perfected, but he says, I press on. I keep looking forward to do the things that please God in our sanctification. Well, we're at the beginning of a new year. New office bearers have been installed. The consistory continues to serve in the church and kingdom of God. And we have to look ahead and say, what must we do in this coming year? And in a sense, I can answer that question by saying we must do the same thing in 2012 as we did in 2011, press on in the Christian life, keeping our eye on the heavenward call to which Christ has called us. So we have to press on. And I want to say that as we do that, cooperating with God in our sanctification and spiritual growth, we do the most good for our fellow man. I don't know if it's ever been, you've ever thought about it or it's ever been pointed out to you, but those who have done the most good for humanity in the framework of history are those who have lived the closest to God and pursued the heavenly calling. Think of the Apostle Paul and all he did for the church of our Lord Jesus and what good he left, what a legacy that God used him to write so many of the books of the Bible. Think of Martin Luther and how he struggled first in his own right, but then when it was open to him of what God did, then he used that knowledge to press on and teach the world the blessed truth, justification by faith. Think of John Calvin, who also lived close to the Lord, and the great accomplishments that he did in a short life, relatively speaking. Well, this morning, in the new year beginning, I want to say to you, press on. And as we press on, first of all, that's an admission that we aren't there yet. It's an admission or confession of our own imperfection. That's what Paul is doing. But it is also a pursuit of our sanctification. We have to press on. So what Paul is doing in our text this morning, dear friends, is he is admitting that he's not quite there yet. He's making a necessary clarification to what he has written earlier in this chapter. If you look at the opening verses where he says, beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers. He's talking about the Judaizers who wanted to corrupt the church with things that people could do to please God and to work out their own salvation. And they emphasized all the things of the law that they kept. Paul says, you want to boast? I could boast of those things too. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee, the strictest sect there was. Concerning righteousness by the law, I was blameless. Look at all the things I did, Paul says. You know what I think of them? Rubbish. For the sake of Christ, I count them rubbish. They're no good. They're no use, not useful to me. What we need is our eye on Christ and on the heavenly calling where he calls us to him, to believe in him, and then receive from him as well the righteousness which he has given. So in verses 4 through 6, Paul can tell all about what he has done, and yet he reveals it's not worth it. Don't look back on that. So he's warning the people, you see, against perfectionism. They might idolize him if they thought all that he did was so wonderful in the keeping of the law. And Paul is clarifying his thought here. He's saying, I'm not perfect. I haven't attained full maturity in the faith. No one must conclude that because I did all these things, I am righteous before God. No. But Paul is saying, I'm still imperfect. What I'm doing is looking, stretching out, reaching for the goal of heaven in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, you know, you have to have a proper perspective on Christian life, is really what Paul is saying. And there are two things that are really necessary to a proper perspective on Christian life. One is the complete rooting out of sin, extirpation. Get it out from its roots. Cover it completely so that it's wholly gone. Why I spoke in the gospel assurance this morning from John. If we have fellowship with one another and with God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Every sin we ever committed or will commit, washed away. That's God's work, and that's wholly perfect. And you have to know that before you can press on toward the goal. You have to know that God will accept you. And the reason he can accept you is that he has already dealt with the sin problem. rooted it out completely. But then the second thing you have to know is that God wants us to conform to His image, to be like Him spiritually. And that is a lifelong process which we call sanctification, becoming more and more holy in Christ, more and more conformed to the law of God for sake of Jesus, not to earn our salvation, but to show our gratitude for that which Christ has done for us. And so in 2012, we have to consider the same thing. We have to know that salvation is not in ourselves. It comes from the Lord. He began the good work of grace in us, but calls us to strive after that goal of perfection and spiritual maturity, which we find when we keep our eyes on the call toward heaven, which is our home and where our citizenship really is. My friends, we have to strive for that. It doesn't always come easy. Sometimes you think you're doing pretty well till somebody crosses your path or cuts you off when you're riding. And right away, the spirit of revenge comes up. And you know that doesn't help spiritual growth. Yes, that's a lifelong process of God trying to tame the old nature and help us to put on the new nature in Christ. We're reminded that we're not fully there every time we pick up the newspaper and look in the obituary column. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. That wasn't spoken by God till after sin entered the world. Then God laid His judgment upon mankind, a judgment that continues till today and reminds us every day it's there yet. We have to look to the future, press on to the goal that God who justifies us will someday receive us in heaven itself. You say, but you know, since I can't attain it, why should I keep trying? That's like asking a man who competes in races, you never win. Why do you still go back? Why do you run again if you lost before a number of times? And the answer you'll get is, I'm always hoping that someday I'll win. He still has his eye on the goal. He still wants to win. And Paul's reference here to pressing on relates to the Old Testament races and the prizes that were given out. And men would enter that race and they would stand here. And there was a goal at the end where there was a pillar, and they had to reach that first, and then they won. And if they won, what did they get? They got a wreath of leaves. They were the victors. That was placed on them. Later on, they added a little sum of money, some other privileges. But still, it wasn't a big prize compared to the things we do today. But they ran. Wasn't just for that prize, it was also for the honor of being the winner. So they strove after that. And when they were prepared to begin, there was a place where there were grooves where they could put their feet in them to get a quicker start. Their feet wouldn't slide. And as they ran with all of their effort to be there first. Not quite a full mile, maybe an eighth of a mile. That day, they had to get to the pillar on the other side. Sometimes it was get there, touch it, and come back. Whoever was first was the winner. Paul says, the way a runner strives, using every muscle of his body, every breath he takes, keeping his eye on the goal. Paul says, that's the way I'm striving toward the goal of heaven itself. Christ, of course, said, He would build this church. But He uses men as instruments in that task. Just as in our salvation, it's God's work in us. And we work it out in our sanctification. so also in the church. Christ is the head and the ruler of the church, but he used the instrumentality of men as they study the word and use the word in governing the church to build that church. And the office bearers who have served and those who continue to serve and the new ones who are going to serve have to keep that in mind. It's not our church. It's not our will that has to be done. It's Christ's will. And we find that in the Word of God. The same way we find out how we run the life of sanctification, it's in the Word. Study the Word. Pursue the truth of the Word. And the church will prosper. So we have to know that people shouldn't look to us necessarily as a role model. We ought to try to be that. Maybe by our sanctification we will be that for some. But we have to let them know we're looking to Christ. We're looking to heaven. Our citizenship is not really on earth. It's in heaven. And we have to get people to look there with us. And the second thing then is as we pursue this sanctification, we have to forget the past. That requires a certain forgetfulness. Paul says, I have not attained, but I press on that I may lay hold. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend, but one thing I do. Verse 13. What is that? Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. Now, do you mean to say Paul is saying he couldn't remember any of those things? Well, you know, that's not so. Because he just rehearses in the earlier part of chapter 3 all the things that he remembered when he kept the law, seeking to be righteous. But he means to say, I blocked them out of my mind as contributing to my salvation. They don't do one iota of good. When they arise, I say, that's not the answer. I have to look to Christ. And so he kept striving toward heaven, forgetting what he has done. And I think you and I have to do that too. There are times when people want to boast. And Paul could have boasted if he'd wanted to. Not only did he keep the law when he was a Pharisee, but even after his conversion, look at the experience he had. Who else gets the privilege of having the Lord Jesus stop him in his tracks with a light above the noonday sun and talk to him and appoint him an apostle? Well, that's an experience worth boasting about, you might say. And of course, he was up in the third heaven, but he didn't talk about that. He knew these things, but those were the things that he could tell you about, but they didn't contribute to his salvation directly. His justification, his appointment to an apostleship was from the Lord. So he boasted in the Lord. Oh, he could have boasted of some 30 years coming to a close now of missionary experience as an apostle. There is no one in all of history, in my estimation, that did more for the Christian church under God than the Apostle Paul. The whole of the Western movement of the church was begun by him when he answered the call to go over to Philippi and helped that church. From there on, the gospel finally went through Europe, and you know how it spread wonderfully well with God's blessing. And Paul wasn't boasting about that. He knew about it. He knew about his sufferings for Christ. He could relate them as you find them, for example, in 2 Corinthians 11. He tells about his stonings, his shipwrecks, his persecution, his trouble of being in the sea, night and day. He tells about he was stoned and left for dead and on and on. But that isn't what he dwelt on. He says, I forget that. Put that out of my mind. That isn't the thing I'm looking forward to. I'm looking toward heaven. And my friends, you have to ask yourself that question. What is most important in your spiritual life? Some experience you had to convert to Christ? Unfortunately, I think there are some people who have had experiences that they never forget about. Every time you see them, they're telling about a salvation experience. I was converted. Some can tell you the day, the moment, the hour, the place. That's fine. If that was your experience, treasure it. But don't dwell on that. That's got to be put behind you. You've got to be pressing forward. I heard a preacher once, was a young man, told about his conversion experience. Quite impressive. But I heard him about 20 years later, and he was still talking about that. I say, that's enough now. Happened to you? Treasure it. Press on. That's the thing that we have to do. Paul has to forget the past. You and I have to forget the past. We have to keep our eyes on the goal. And the goal is heaven. The goal is to be with Christ, either by way of death's door or by when He comes again. And that requires, of course, for us to pursue sanctification, that first of all, we are converted. And what is conversion? But repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. Repentance for sin, faith in the Lord Jesus. That may be an experience that you remember. It may be a gradual thing, like Timothy as he grew up and was taken along by the Apostle Paul on missionary journeys and lived to be a pastor, an evangelist, an assistant of the Apostle. I suspect that most of our children born and raised in covenant homes, sealed with baptism, have no great dramatic experience. But that doesn't mean they aren't converted. If you believe in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and salvation, and rest your faith in Him and His finished work, you are a converted child of God. And then you must pursue actively this life of seeking to be like the Lord by looking to Him. Paul says in verse 12, very carefully, I press on that I may lay hold on, grasp, as it were, the blessed truth that of that for which Christ laid hold on me. And that happened in Paul's conversion. That's when Christ laid His hands on Paul, so to speak. Made him His child. Paul says, now that's the reality. I'm a child of God. Now I have to press on to be what Christ wants me to be and for which He laid hold on me. And I would like to challenge you that in 2012, you do the same thing. If you know yourself to be a child of God, as I trust you do, and you should, and if you don't, you have to make that your business, the first order of business, of course, to know that you're a child of God. But then you have to press on for the prize, which comes only at the end of the race. My friends, let's learn from our mistakes. Let's learn from our failures. Let's learn from our sins. When we are troubled with them, cast all those cares on God, knowing, as Peter says, He cares for you. And give thanks for any special token of God's grace that you may have experienced. And I dare say that many of the experiences of God's grace come in the times of sickness, sorrow, disappointment, and despair. God's grace never tastes richer, and we experience it never more fully than when we are deeply in despair and trouble. That's when we look up, isn't it? And that's when we find that God is for real. And He reaches down again, picks us up, and carries us on. So, my friends, let this be the year when you pursue that life of sanctification, so that with the song read, you can say, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. So we pursue the life of sanctification in 2012. And so, my friends, many people on New Year's Day make resolutions. I've never paid much attention to that, except this one resolution that is perpetual. Pursue the goal of being Christ-like. Pursue the goal of the life that is in Jesus. Press on to the prize of the upward call. That's where God wants us to be, in His presence. And as we do that and pursue it, we have to make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. 2011, maybe before that, it's kind of a rough year, also in the church here. Don't dwell on that, my friends. That was an experience we hope never happens again. But the point is, don't let that deter you from the pursuit of the life of sanctification. Another songwriter put it well and sums up, it seems to me, the old and the new, the backward look and the forward look. He writes, I look not back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted hours, the sinnings, the regrets. I leave them all with Him who blots the record and graciously forgives and then forgets. That's the past. But I look up into the face of Jesus. For there my heart can rest, my fears are stilled. And there is joy and peace and love and light for darkness and perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. That's the future of those who press on. Together, let's press on. Amen. O Lord God, we give thanks for all that has happened in this service this morning, and to know that Thy Spirit has been with us also in the past year, and Thy promise is that Thou wilt be with us as we go on into the future, for Thou wilt never leave us and never forsake us. O God, give us faith to hold on to that promise, and to know that our Savior said when He left us, Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. So may we press on in the knowledge of the presence of Jesus in 2012. Amen.